Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I feel very strongly as governor, but also just as a dad of a 6, a 5, and a 3-year-old, that we need to let our kids just be kids. And we have a very crazy age that we live in. There's a lot of nonsense that gets floated around, and what we've said in Florida is we are going to remain a refuge of sanity and a citadel of normalcy. And kids should have an upbringing that reflects that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this, how the culture is gaslighting people with traditional ethics. I mean, the culture, if you think that men and women were made men and women by God or by evolution, it doesn't really matter. But if you think those are separate and distinct categories, they'll tell you you're crazy or evil. They're gaslighting you. Like if you believe in traditional marriage, they're gaslighting you for thinking that that's somehow a norm. If you think that, you know, making babies is the purpose of marriage and having babies is a normal thing and that we shouldn't be destroying babies before they get born, they gaslight you and say that you're evil and you hate. I mean, it's an amazing thing across the board when you look at the way the left-leaning culture tells people with traditional values, you know, sort of the values that have made the human race kind of survive and thrive for, you know, thousands of years, that you're the crazy one, you're the insane one, you're the meanie, you're the baddie, you're the wicked, you're the hateful, whatever, you're the bigot. When kind of what we're saying is, I think this is just kind of the way it's supposed to be. I think you're the ones who have brought the lunacy. And so when he says, you know, a refuge of normalcy, a haven for, you know, kind of the way things have always been, that's what he means by what the legislature has done in the last several years, and particularly this year. And there's really no better example of that than every time I think about this business of taking healthy kids who are upset about who they think they are, and they have been taught that they're not who they really are, and that that's okay, and that they should have hormone therapies and surgeries to turn them into what they think they are based on a temporary, usually, phase in their life where they're confused and upset and hormonal. It's crazy. That, I mean, that is genuinely amazing. And I wrestled with this issue in the beginning because I thought, well, you know, parental rights and parents are close to the kids and parents know what's best for the kids. And I thought, but what if the parents have bought into this craziness too? You know, there are limits to what we let parents do to their kids. There are. And performing amputations, I mean, unhealthy children because of a disturbance in their mind about who they are is, that's the insanity. Now, somebody grows up, they're an adult, they want to, I mean, I still think it's insane, but at that point, they are adults, you know, but as kids. So when he announces this yesterday, just, I don't know, as you hear this get talked about and reported in the news, just try to keep in mind, you know, who's the crazy ones?
You have a movement amongst, I would say, rogue elements of the medical establishment to do things that is basically the mutilation of minors. I mean, they're trying to do sex change operations on minors, giving them things like puberty blockers and doing things that are irreversible to them. And that is not based on science. That is not based on evidence.
And I think that we all have, I hope everybody on every side of this has great empathy for anybody who feels this way about their own. I mean, it's hard to imagine feeling alienated from your own body, from your own gender, feeling like you were born in the wrong body. Just, I mean, it's, most people can't understand that. Try to understand that for a second, how uncomfortable and difficult that would be. Just like depression, just like any other mental disorder, any other pain that people suffer. You know, the desire to end your own life. Understand that that is extremely vivid for people who suffer from that. So have empathy for those people, but empathy is not the same as believing that somebody who's suffering from a mental disorder should be the one to decide what to do to their bodies on the basis of that mental disorder. And that's where the distinction is between the right and the left on this issue.
But when we do the SB 254, this will permanent outlaw the mutilation of minors. It will outlaw the surgical procedures and experimental puberty blockers for minors. It will also require any adults receiving these surgeries to be informed about the irreversible nature and about the dangers of the procedures.
Yeah, so informed consent for adults and a ban for children. That's basically what's got signed into law. Now, there was a whole suite of things that came into effect yesterday, or some of them are immediate, like the ban on transgender therapy is not even the right word. There's so much fighting over the language of this because the language is embedded with the viewpoint you want to advocate, okay? You know, you hear the gender-affirming care. I think that is a disturbingly, that's a gaslighting term, right? But sex change is what we used to call it, okay? So sex change. So it's banned sex changes for children. That's actually a very neutral term. I think even the mutilation and amputation, I think those are, though they're accurate, I think those are loaded terms, okay? Sex change is a very neutral term. This bans sex change treatments and or surgeries for children. That's what this does. But there's other things in the bills that were signed yesterday.
This bill makes sure that Florida students and teachers will never be forced to declare pronouns in school or be forced to use pronouns not based on biological sex. We never did this through all of human history until, like, what, 2 weeks ago? Now this is something? They're having third graders declare pronouns? We're not doing the pronoun Olympics in Florida. It's not happening here. And so,
like I've tried to say on so many different subjects, there's really no neutral space. You know, there's no way for the school system to be neutral on this subject, because if you allow the changing of pronouns and you encourage the idea that you can just pick your pronoun, that's embracing a view. If you prohibit the changing of pronouns and you prohibit the the idea that you can pick them based on your identity of the day, of the moment, of the year, whatever, that's also a view. And you can't have it both ways. It can't be something where we let people pick and where we don't let people pick. It's binary. It's either or. And for so long, you know, we've kind of been moving down the road of the picket side, and Florida is saying, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Same thing here, although I think this is a different issue, but it wasn't part of the bills yesterday.
Yeah, there's these adult performances. There are these, like, you know, these drag shows, sexually explicit in what they're doing. And look, adult entertainment, you know, people can do what they want with some of that. But to have minors there, I mean, you'll have situations where you'll have, like, an 8-year-old girl there, where you have these, like, really explicit shows, and that is just inappropriate.
And so signing a bill that says you cannot have children at sexually explicit shows, it doesn't specify drag shows in the bill, just to remind you. But this one, I think we're going to run into some issues with this one. I agree that there are certain things that you definitely shouldn't be allowed to take children to, just like you can't take children to a strip club, okay? There are certain things you shouldn't be taking children to, but there's a continuum, right? There's a spectrum along which cross-dressing, what I would call mere cross-dressing, though I don't support it, I'm not in favor of it, starts to be this question of, well, in the schools, you don't switch pronouns and you don't have cross-dressing, but if a parent wants to use different pronouns with their kids at home, well, we're not going to prevent that. If they want to cross-dress at home, if they want to take kids to a place where a man is dressed as a woman, well, okay, I mean, you're not going to ban that. But when that man dressed as a woman is doing a striptease on a pole, well, no, not anymore with the kids, right? You know, where exactly do you draw the line on this spectrum of balancing the interests of the state and of the child against the desires of the parents for how they should be raised? Again, parental rights versus other things. And you have to give some weight to parental rights in things that you disagree with. Otherwise, you don't really believe in parental rights. The same way you want other people to give your parenting choices preference in things that they disagree with, like, let's say, raising a kid to be a Christian. There are some people who think that that's child abuse, right? And they would like to prevent that. Maybe those numbers aren't that high, but there are people who view things that way, And what you say to them is, no, parental rights. And you want them to take that seriously, just like we should take seriously, you know, somebody who says, I want the right to raise my child as an atheist. And we say, well, that's an abominable choice. And yet you have the right as a parent, because we believe parents have religious authority and child rearing rights when it comes to their kids. This is the one particularly that I think is going to run into the, it's not going to be common to be a problem, but I think this is the one where I don't disagree with what the governor and the legislature is trying to do. I just disagree with the, I don't know how to solve this problem, but I don't think this bill solves it.
We also are going to sign HB 1521, which is ensuring women's safety, making sure that educational institutions, detention facilities, correctional institutes, juvenile facilities, and public buildings with a restroom, locker room, or changing facility, that they must have separate facilities for men and women based on biological sex. A woman...
And so, I agree in theory.
A woman should not be in a locker room having to worry about someone from the opposite sex being in their locker room. And it's happening with athletics, with our girl athletes and women athletes, also with some of these other things, whether it's a prison situation, whether it's just these restrooms. You know, we want to make sure that our girls and our women are protected. And so this bill does that and makes sure that they're not going to be exposed to situations that are not in their best interest.
So all agreed in principle. The problem is you have somebody who has been practicing being a woman. Okay, I'm trying to use very neutral terms here. They have been practicing being a woman but were born a man, okay, for 20 years. And if you meet this person anywhere, most likely you wouldn't know that this person's not a woman. And the other direction too. People who were born women who have been practicing being a man for 20 years, and you wouldn't know. And so what's going to happen is now that person can't go into the bathroom they've been using for 20 years, where most likely nobody has noticed, nobody has known, it's never been an issue. And now all of a sudden you are going to have people with, you know, a beard going into the women's bathroom because that's their birth sex. And like I said, I don't know how you solve that problem. I don't know what the right regulation is to fix that. Do I think that this at least creates some level of security for people in bathrooms in Florida? It does. Do I also think that this solution is going to create problems in those rare cases where somebody, like I said, you could not tell that they're a man or a woman because of the way they have been, you know, behaving and dressing or had operations or whatever for all of this time? Yeah. They're going to go into what will seem like the wrong bathroom. I mean, if a transgender woman, born a man, become a woman, walks into the bathroom, you know, with me, born a woman, looks like a man, walks into the bathroom with me, I'm probably going to think nothing of it. But if the transgender, I guess I had it right there, the born a man, become a woman, goes into the bathroom, I'm going to be like, what are you doing in here? And that person's going to be like, well, the law says now. You know, right? That's going to be weird. So I don't know. Again, I'm not claiming I have the answer. I'm just not sure this is the answer. But that is the law now. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Feel free to weigh in, 437-1620. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars. Like the kind of cars that, you know, a year ago somebody bought it new, and then they brought, like, our Honda Odyssey. They brought it back after a one-year lease, and then we bought it. So we got a one-year-old car that's the same car as if we had bought it a year ago, only we saved thousands of dollars because we didn't have to buy it new. That's the idea. Cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old, great condition, low miles, good prices, and then you drive it. You don't have to do it this way, but the reason Dave Ramsey is such a fit here, and same for me, is, you know, drive it into the ground. Drive it until that car won't work anymore. 200, 300 plus thousand miles. That's how we do cars. Then we buy another one that's a year or two old at a good price from Frontier. So I'm going to see you now, and I'm going to see you again in 15 years. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. They have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9:30 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
This is a quick litmus test to figure out whether you and I are good friends or not. Okay, you ready? Test number one, did you air drum the drum intro from Mr. Roboto, including the cymbals crash? Did you, yes or no? I think the answer is yes for everybody.
Or did you start doing the robot?
Well, it's fine later, not for that part. The second part is, did you in your mind imagine pressing the colored sides of the Simon machine? Did you?
Because yeah,
if you did and you air drummed, we're friends. And if you didn't, I mean, you could still hang out here. It's all right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden's in Japan today for a summit of the world's seven largest democratic economies, the U.S., Japan, Canada, U.K., France, Germany, and Italy, focusing their discussions on what National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan calls a common basis for each nation's approach to China. The man that ran over and killed eight people on a New York City bike path back in 2017 was given eight consecutive life sentences yesterday. Before his sentencing, he was given a chance to talk. He said his actions were justified. After that speech, the judge called him cowardly and unrepentant. And federal prosecutors saying that Air National Guardsmen accused of posting classified documents on social media.
This is the Discord story?
Yes.
All right.
He had been repeatedly warned about mishandling documents. Prosecutors say the 21-year-old continued disclosing documents and even bragging about it after his Air Force superiors had admonished him in September and October of last year.
Well, what's interesting about that is, you know, you tend to think, this dude can't figure out how to obey instructions. Every 21-year-old in the universe. But that means they were aware of this and they let this go on without apparently strict disciplinary action or limiting his access to things. So, you know, yes, fool me once, break classification once, shame on you. Break classification 10 times.
Definitely opens a lot of questions about the whole chain of command in that unit.
Absolutely, absolutely. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 here on News Radio 92.3. The Pensacola International Airport is landing and taking off as normal-ish right now. I stopped by last night and took a quick video of the north-south runway, which has the lights operating. That's the one that had been down due to maintenance. So it wasn't operational, but they found out that the electrical system to the north-south runway was fine. So the limp along, move ahead solution here is north-south lights on during the morning when it's dark and during the night when it's dark, east-west without lights the rest of the time while they continue to do maintenance to complete the repairs and refurbishment to the north-south runway. So we are operating at half a runway each half of the day, kind of right now. Like yesterday, we were talking to DC Reeves, and I said the two-sink analogy. There's a night sink and a day sink, or a night kitchen and a day kitchen right now is what we're doing. What do you have coming up, David?
There's a former school bookkeeper being charged. We'll tell you right after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's in Hiroshima, Japan, meeting with other world leaders at a G7 summit. First, one-on-one with Japan's Prime Minister Kishida.
Under Japan's leadership, we've already delivered progress on the G7 agenda this year, and I'm looking forward to our meetings in the days ahead.
The war on Ukraine and relations with China are main topics on the agenda. The Justice Department asked that a Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of sharing classified military secrets be held without bail. Prosecutors tell a judge Jack Teixeira had been warned twice.
According to the court filing, Teixeira would jot down top secret information during confidential meetings and was caught viewing content not related to his duties before spreading the information on the Discord social media channel.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten has a court hearing about Teixeira's attention tomorrow. The TikTok video app is banned in Montana over privacy concerns as of January 1st. There will be court challenges to that. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 71. It's partly cloudy here in Pensacola. A former bookkeeper for Santa Rosa County School, now accused of stealing funds from the school that she worked at. 36-year-old Summer Borland facing multiple charges, including fraud and larceny. The Gulf Breeze Police Department says they received a report of stolen funds last Friday from Gulf Breeze Middle School. Following a joint investigation with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, a warrant was issued Monday. Borland arrested yesterday. She's since been released after posting $15,000 bond. Progress is being made towards getting more affordable housing units put up here in Escambia County.
We have three houses underway, and they should have poured the slabs this week. They had all the plumbing roughed in at the beginning of the week. They should be pouring the slabs. We got good weather. We've got seven houses on the street now coming in behind these three.
And that's Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno. He says earlier this year, Escambia County Board of Commissioners approved a contract with McDelt LLC to build the homes on several lots near downtown Pensacola. Now, all of those homes are part of the county's infill affordable housing program, and that was opened up to applications last year. Governor DeSantis signing several bills yesterday related to sexuality, schools, and gender care for minors. The theme of his signing session was, let's let kids just be kids.
Kids should have an upbringing that reflects that, and I think that there's a lot of emphasis in other parts of the country and our society as a whole to take that away from them. And we're not going to let that happen here in Florida. And today is proof of that.
And one of those new laws bans gender surgery and puberty blockers for minors, allows Florida to stop procedures for out-of-state residents. The state is also prohibiting schools from designating pronouns from students and requires people to use the public bathrooms that match their biological sex. There's a report by Senator Marco Rubio that concludes that COVID was caused by what he's calling a serious biosafety incident. RealClearPolitics.com reporting yesterday that it obtained a report by Rubio on COVID's origins. The report accusing Chinese officials of willfully and repeatedly ignoring known safety shortcomings at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That goes as far back as July of 2019. Rubio writes that China's People's Liberation Army began work on a COVID vaccine patent application in November. It's 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We're going to be staying warm and humid today with a high near 84 degrees. 40% chance of an afternoon shower or thunderstorms, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Friday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy with a high near 84. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's partly cloudy right now. 72 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 67, and some showers reported in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
When it comes to Medicare-related plans, one size does not fit all. From plans that help cover out-of-pocket costs to comprehensive plans that include additional benefits and features, you're sure to find an option that fits your healthcare needs and your budget. Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear Ricky Stewart discuss how she can help you make the right insurance choice. That's today at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:37 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be there.
Always good to have you. Let's start with the problems first, because I know there's a lot of people that are anxious about this. The airport, as I understand it, we are still not with lights because the work could not be done yesterday because Ken Eibold said that the weather interfered with them being able to get in there, which is very understandable. So we are still where we have been both Monday afternoon and or Monday morning and Tuesday morning, which is hoping, fingers crossed, that we can get the lights back on today, therefore resume normal operations on the one runway tonight. Is that right?
That's correct. And as we mentioned yesterday, the contractors that were actually currently working on the scheduled north-south repairs have been pulled off of that to come help with the east-west, of course, because of the timeliness and the urgency to get that up and going. So, yes, you can't have anyone in the airfield when there's lightning in the area, no matter what you're doing. So that certainly was not helpful for our efforts, but we'll continue to regularly update with Ken and myself and try to keep people as apprised as we can. I mentioned in press conference, some folks have mentioned, well, why don't you just stop the repairs on north south runway? As you can imagine, it's not as easy as that. If it was, we would do it. There's going to have to be some work and some things done. If we were to get to a point where we thought this was going to be any longer term than what I would call day to day right now, of course, that's something we would entertain, the second that we see fit. But at the end of the day, we're double timing it. We got our staff, we've got contracted staff out there, working as fast as they can.
I mean, the analogy I would use is imagine you're doing renovations on a house in which, for whatever reason, you happen to have two kitchens, and one kitchen is, being totally revamped, and the other one you have a fire, and you can't use that kitchen. Well, you can't just reactivate the first kitchen all that easily. It's not that simple to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You could with some time, but it's just not that simple to do. One question I do have, though, and I've heard this from a couple of people, is they're kind of critical of the way this was handled in terms of the information flow, because we really got this very cryptic note on Monday that nobody understood what was going on. We kind of had to pry information out yesterday to figure out what was going on. By the press conference, things got a little bit better. But, this was a known as of Monday morning at 1 a.m. that the lights flickered and went off. And it seems like a better job could have been done, at least to tell people in a preliminary way, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. Here's what we're trying to do, so that travelers wouldn't be sort of caught by surprise Monday afternoon finding out that things got canceled that day. Your thoughts on the way information flowed on this?
Sure. Well, look, you know my background. I always have a high expectation of how we communicate or over-communicate. So certainly those concerns are understood. And as I said, I have a high expectation for myself and our administration always on that. And we could always, certainly we could have done that better. But also, you know, just to put this in context, understand, you know, let's use your kitchen analogy. You know, if we think all we need is rich and it's a quick fix, we're probably not going to tell everybody at noon, you know, we're thinking that you know, it may or may not close. Because remember, there's a lot of dominoes that happen. When you start to even mention the word might close or might cancel flights, you know, it's a pretty sensitive, you know, there's a lot of decisions that are made, a lot of consequences that are made when you speculate things as well. So that's not, I totally understand the frustration of folks. I totally get it. I've been in tough travel situations before. We all have, and it's very frustrating. I certainly sympathize with those folks, but understand, obviously, if we knew that this was something, you know, at 1 a.m. Monday that was going to be multi-day, we would have, of course, announced that at the moment. So, you know, that unfortunately, that's the difficulty of the situation is less what the actual repair is and the fact that they're, you know, it's electrical, you know, so one thing turns on and the next one turns off. And, you know, I mean, there's some procedure to this that makes it even more difficult when you're trying to administer it on a runway. So, you know, that's, I would say, where our lapse in communication was is, you know, the hope is that we get this thing done, you know, before. And actually, I just had a conversation with our airport right before I got on with you. And we had that exact conversation to say, you know, we're going to be able to, we want to sequence information better today, you know, whether that's, here's where we are, 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and, you know, get that word out as soon as possible. So certainly something we can always do better.
Yeah, and I appreciated the explanation yesterday that, you know, it was kind of like, well, we thought it was going to be able to be done, and we didn't want to panic everybody. And then as soon as we knew it wasn't going to be done Monday, that's when we let everybody know. And I get that. There's a cost benefit to, you know, deciding when to release the information, and do you panic people or concern people when you don't need to. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, one of the other big news items this week is we've got the second now grant for American Magic to work on the Warehouse 10. So, I know you talked about this extensively yesterday in your press conference, but there is now a legitimate possibility that we would have a America's Cup in Pensacola Bay if this team can win when they go to Barcelona. Is that right?
Absolutely. And my joke has been, you know, our chances of hosting America's Cup in Pensacola, Florida have gone from 1 in a trillion to 1 in 4, probably, you know, over the last week or so. And just a huge win for us across the board, 150 plus jobs and potentially growing around manufacturing, $105,000 average salary, which is the highest that Triumph has ever had in front of them and approved. So very excited about that. The team loves being here. The leadership loves being here. And you know, remember, there's two important things to this as citizens. Number one, you know, between the 8.5 and the 3.9 from the governor, you know, that's $12.4 million. That's enough to fund, which is improvements to our building, you know, at the Port of Pensacola. And so, yes, it's to suit the tenant. But, you know, those dollars are not going to new sales. They're going to, you know, improve our Warehouse 10. So that, you know, there's a double value there to us. And you know, I'm really, really excited about the future. And we don't get opportunities to say we're the best in the world, the best in the country at something very often. And that's, you know, with their presence here, we can legitimately say that. And certainly can say that if we were to host America's Cup. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a real thing. And you know, we should all be on every Jumbotron at the stadium or whatever come fall 24. You know, we all have a very deep-rooting interest now in American Magic winning America's Cup.
Absolutely. And I very much appreciated what you said about how those jobs are relocating jobs. They're not new jobs, but there's tax base, there's spending, there's, you know, re-employment opportunities when they take on new people, and also the collateral benefits of developing the infrastructure. And I will say this, I think the biggest challenge that we would run into, it's a great blessing and a challenge, is that if we had, you know, if they win, if we move the America's Cup here, that the biggest challenge you're going to have is limiting access to the pedestrian walkways on Three Mile Bridge that will offer unbelievable views of this racing right. environment. That's probably going to be a good challenge. One thing I know it's a complicated topic. It's not a very TV or radio-friendly topic, but the business with casks and flights and the amended ordinance change that you put into place, can you maybe just explain to people very briefly what the difference is now, how they're able to operate, and what was the concern that sent off this one-sentence amendment?
Right. Yeah, I'll try to do that in one sentence. Ultimately, all the amendment did was the new classification of restaurant, which is that 25 to 150 seats that we had already voted on. That classification just has a little additional layer of clearance that they can't be within 500 feet of a residential zone or a school. So those are already kind of limitations that are tied to the liquor license, the 4COP already. So just consider a little bit of a step one is to say, if we were to have any unintended consequences of this new classification, that would help protect some of that a little bit. And that's something we could always unravel if we start to see that there isn't any issue. But we looked at the map of where these places could potentially go all over the city and felt comfortable. But we were trying to kind of offer that as an olive branch to the council with some of the folks that had some concerns. So that's all it really means is the amendment is just a little additional layer of any anxiety or concern that you know, that this new classification would somehow, you know, affect residential areas, schools, et cetera.
The political Diplo speak that people have been using more recently, in my opinion, is the, you know, I have a comfort level, and putting that sentence in maybe didn't change any practicals on the ground, but did bring a comfort level to the city council members who were concerned about that, which I appreciate. I did want to ask you before we get to the lightning round, you've been very involved in the school district and, you know, in working for the appointed superintendent as opposed to the elected. And you know, we've had a lot of conversation about this. As you well know, last night, the school board got chastised heavily by the state, and then they did approve the charter school USA for Warrenton Middle, and then they turned right around and 3-2 fired the superintendent, declined to extend his contract, however you want to say it. He left the room. I mean, it was in practice a firing. Your thoughts about this level of turmoil and you know, what's going on with the school board right now?
Yeah, you know, certainly I've got enough irons in the fire on our side and can't really speak to a lot of the specifics of that turmoil. But sure. I will say, you know, this is you know, not very unpredictable in terms of the desire of two school board members to oust the superintendent. That being said, as I said to that same board and as a advocate of the appointed superintendent format, that's what they were voted in to do, and doesn't mean I have to agree with it. It just means at the end of the day, the value of the appointed superintendent is that if you feel if the board is so moved to take action, they can do so. And then an elected, you couldn't. So I've told you, you know, I feel like the irony is, oh, well, because of this, we should go back to elected. Well, no, if this was the right move for the school board and they believe that that's the right move, that's why they're able to do it now, not 2 years from now. So this is why this mechanism should work. And now the school board has an opportunity to put who they believe the best person in the United States of America qualified for this job to come in and lead the school board in the right direction. So I don't necessarily agree with the move. And again, I believe very predictable given what the behavior we've seen over the last few months from a particular school board members. But, you know, we are where we are. And in that respect, I believe that this format gives us the opportunity to, you know, do what we think is best for the kids of our county.
Yeah, this is the power that was created by the referendum, I mean, clearly. And I agree with you. I don't think it was done well. I think it should have been done through regular order, not as a sudden add-on. It should have been done at the next meeting, maybe in June or something like that. But this is literally the power that was granted to the school board. Let's hope they use it wisely going forward. The lightning round, we always like to end with this. All right, in your house, do you park your car in the garage or in the driveway?
Oh, driveway. And you know, garage is just storage. You know that.
I don't know that. I use the garage for the car because that's, you know, my way. are you a front end to the house or front end to the street? Do you back in or pull in?
Pull in. Yeah, I'm a pull in. And just side note to that, I have plenty of 2022 DC Roots from Air things in my garage if you have extra.
If I want to borrow some, I got you. Socks. Before pants or socks after pants?
After. Yeah, that's 100%. Yeah.
Civilized man. I appreciate
that. Now, I may go sock shoe. You know.
Oh, and, but, wow. Okay, so that's a little unorthodox, but it does save on the, you know, the foot of orientation, I will put it that way. So I understand that as a process, man. And then the last one, when you're eating an apple, do you bite on the North Pole, the equator, or the South Pole first?
Always equator. Yeah. I go. Okay. Yeah. All the way around.
All the way. Oh, so you bisect it first and then you work on the upper northern and southern hemispheres.
Exactly. That's the best part. You got to start with the best.
DC Reeves, our mayor for the city of Pensacola, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. As always, thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
And kudos on the triumph win and the American Magic stuff. That really is big, great news. So thanks again for the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're excited.
That's right. Andrew McKay here asking all the hard questions. 437-1620, 437-1620. You know, that's one of the things I like about D.C. is, you know, we can have the fun stuff, too. You know, I like that about him. So, and
he was a journalist. Like, if everybody forgets, I forgot he wrote for the PNJ.
Yeah, long. I mean, you know, in his former, you know, three lives ago kind of thing, right? So,
that's so great.
At the tender age of 24, however old he is, you know, he's what, like
he still looks like he's 24. Yeah, totally. You know,
we have these issues.
Great guy.
Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you know, I talk a lot about Christina Leavenworth and all the homes she sells for above list price, sells for a day or two. I mean, like, you know, amazing results and more than 200 homes sold last year. And, you know, already as of the first quarter this year had, you know, 65 homes sold. That's just, it's ridiculous. It really is. But it's a reminder of how effective she is at doing this and, you know, getting deals done. Well, on the selling side, that's sort of obvious. But sometimes I might fail to really emphasize the value of her as a buyer's agent. And especially, you know, if you're buying your first home, you want somebody who's an expert. Like, you're getting ready to move up from renting, whether renting a home or an apartment or whatever, you're going to buy a home. And, you know, where do you go? Well, she's a fantastic resource for you because she will take you through the whole process. She will understand what you're trying to accomplish, and she will find you the right house for the right amount of money. Because, you know, who better to help you acquire the house that you fall in love with than the person who knows the seller's point of view so well that she'll know what you can and can't negotiate on, what the price is and isn't going to be, what other people are likely to offer, and what it'll take to win the contract offer. So I'm just saying, as a buyer's agent, we don't really talk about it as much, but she is genuinely fantastic at that. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
News Radio Pensacola.
Absolutely awesome.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow,
See, Candy, you want so badly to be angry at me, and then I do something like that.
I know. I don't shout out things during your show as much anymore.
5:54 on News Radio 92.3.
I know. The meow, meow, meow. something I hadn't heard in a long time.
Isn't that
time?
Great? Yeah. I told you that I came across this video on Facebook of, you know, you're this old if you know these things. I'm like, oh, all those are going in the rotation. No, that's great.
Aww.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Walgreens giving $230 million to San Francisco to settle a case over its distribution of opioids. A city attorney making that announcement yesterday in San Francisco. We'll be getting that over the next 14 years. Montana, apparently, the first state now to ban TikTok.
I know. Wild, right?
Yeah,
like, just to ban it in the state.
Whole ban, yeah. How are they going to learn to dance in Montana?
How are they going to learn to be sturdy? Yeah.
To be fair, if they've had TikTok for all this time and they still dance as they do, has TikTok really been helping?
Ooh, solid point. Very solid point.
By the way, on that story.
Yes.
It was interesting to me because it's apparently, if I read the law right, it's $10,000 as a fine for the platform that offers you the download or if you access a TikTok video. So, like, it's using the platform or downloading it. Both are violations in Montana right now. I would very much expect this is going to get a lawsuit and a stay and a pending future review. But yeah, it's a wild law.
That
right?
would be very difficult to prosecute, I would think. Oh, and then one more small story here. There's some rumors flying around that Governor Ron DeSantis plans to formally enter the presidential race next week. The Washington Post reporting that he's planning to kick off his campaign for the GOP nomination at a donor meeting in Miami.
Okay. I mean, yeah, when it happens, it'll happen. When he's done signing all the bills and signing the budget, I think is probably, that's when I would expect
it. Yeah, because he hasn't been running already.
Right.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's a complete mystery whether he's going to declare for president, right? Zero mystery at all. All right. Thanks so much for the update, David. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. I have a story here I got to ask you about, Candy.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm curious what your take is. And the story, let me play it from the news because I thought they did a pretty good job of summarizing. I want to give you the context here. Where did I put the clip? Oh, maybe I don't have it. Okay, no, here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
We are ushering in a new era for hot dogs. After nearly 90 years on the road, the iconic Wienermobile is getting a new name. Oscar Mayer announced it is rebranding the car to the Frankmobile after the 100% beef franks that are getting a new recipe this summer. So starting this week, the Frankmobile is offering a Franks for Frank special. So anybody named Frank can go pick up a coupon for a free pack of hot dogs. All they got to do is stop by that vehicle. I get it's a marketing ploy for this new product. Frankmobile does not have the pop.
I hear you when it comes to that.
So when I first heard this, my immediate thought was, oh, they're trying to move away from the Wiener name.
That's what I would assume because
gender equality, wokeism, whatever.
Something about Mary.
Yeah, right.
Have you seen these? Yeah, right.
And then, well, they rebranded it as a Frankmobile. Well, Frank is a perfectly masculine name. I mean, so far.
Yeah.
You know, give it a year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Frank, and then, of course, the shape of the hot dog. You know, there are certain issues here when it comes to kind of
phallic food.
Yeah, exactly. So my question to you, do you believe, and I read the whole Ad Age article on the why, and it's really just meant, they say it is entirely about rebranding for the Franks or whatever. Do you believe them, or do you think there's a motive here that they're trying to move away from calling their primary branding product a Wiener? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they've heard all the jokes. I don't think they can come up with anything else. And they're called Oscar Mayer Wieners.
I think,
but on the package it says isn't funny.
The
package says Beef Franks.
Right. I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Frank.
Well, they need a new song.
It doesn't work at all.
On Breaking Bad, your favorite character's Hank. Hey, why don't you have a Frank?
Nice. Eh? I like that.
You like that,
so
David?
So my question for you is, do you believe them that this is being done for just pure brand promotion value, or do you think that they're trying to do, like, the soft woke thing, like they don't want to get Dylan Mulvaney'd on this deal? You know, the real reason is they don't want to call it the Wienermobile, but they don't want to say that's the real reason. What do you think?
I think they want to be able to drive through the state of Florida and not have DeSantis sign a bill saying they can't. So I don't know.
Is this a drag show?
Is that
a female bun that you're wrapping that thing with?
It's an Oscar Mayer Wiener for like the last, 50 years at
least.
Exactly, so
right.
Maybe it is a rebrand. And, you know,
so
hey, I want a Frank.
In my opinion,
not a Wiener.
This is a rebrand and again a mistake. Just, you know, the thing is known and iconic.
It's great.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio.